basketball. Give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
Locked in on the Bucks.
No, never in a million years.
Bringing the insight and the analysis.
I do hate trash calls.
2022 Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Eric Name of The Athletic, is on Rutledge and Hamilton.
Rutledge and Hamilton continues. We're presented by Coors Light. You can love it. Jim Rutledge. Derek Engler with you live from the Spark Building. We are now joined by Eric Name from The Athletic. And Eric Name from The Athletic is on with us right now. We'll get the music turned down a little bit there because all I hear is that funky music instead of Eric Name. Eric, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Say hello to Derek Engler, starting center for the Badgers 94 Rose Bowl team, played in the NFL, played in the Super Bowl with the Giants. Have you met Eric before?
How you doing, Eric?
You got to turn your microphone on. We're getting there.
I don't think so, but it is great to meet you.
I've listened to you, Eric. You got a lot of good stuff on air with Hamilton and Rutledge, or Rutledge and Hamilton.
Yeah, what are we doing here right now?
I'm sorry.
And he's also a loyal reader of The Athletic. Eric, I got a question for you, and I'll just put it out like this. So the headline reads, Giannis Antetokounmpo reveals he almost retired in 2020. Now, can you apply some context to that, because, man, that's a headline.
Yeah. Lori Nichol at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote a great story about Giannis and kind of how he's dealt with mental health issues over the years. And, you know, it's a lot of it was kind of based on what was going on in the bubble, kind of what happened during the pandemic. That was a time that, you know, in the past I've Giannis has not been shy in talking about how much he disliked being in the bubble, how much he kind of hated being there. He didn't like being around his family. He didn't like kind of being like locked up in the same place. You know, in the past for The Athletic, he's just kind of flat out said, like, I was miserable. Like, I was just absolutely miserable. And with Lori, as they talked about, you know, kind of what he's doing with the Charles Adetokounmpo Family Foundation and their work with mental health, you know, he said that he actually contemplated retiring in 2020. And that was, you know, a time where things were about to be very good for him. You know, he's about to have one of the largest contracts in NBA history. But it was just a time where he wasn't very happy. And, you know, he's trying to figure out how to deal with the pressure of being one of the best players on the planet, a back-to-back MVP, trying to win a championship, and kind of do all those things that go along with being one of the best players on the planet. And it was just a spot where it was a lot of stress. And, you know, obviously, I think in recent years we've come to recognize that a lot of our professional athletes, whether it's Giannis or DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Love, they're all humans, mm-hmm. just like we're all humans here talking on the radio or writing stories at The Athletic or whatever it may be, whatever you do for a job. Like, everyone kind of deals with these things, and athletes are not immune to it. So a real kudos to Giannis for, you know, being willing to speak his truth and let kind of people behind the curtain a little bit and how he's tried to deal with all of this.
You know, it's interesting, Eric, because, you know, Giannis, the competitor he is, just his work ethic, his discipline, the effort that he puts in. And, you know, we've read stories, of course, about his effort and how he doesn't slow down even if it's the All-Star game. You know, he's out there competing, and he gets some slack from that, from some of the other veterans, of course. But I could imagine the pressure and the stress that would take on mentally, knowing that, you know, he has to go through that process in order to continue to be the best in the world. And to your point, to come out of that 2020 from that mental state, and for us to watch him this year, in my mind, it's 1-1A between MVP with him and Embiid. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that as well. You know, it's a testament to who Giannis is, and his character as a professional athlete. It's going to be fun watching him through this playoffs.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that's really impressive about Giannis and, you know, his willingness to speak about his mental health is the fact that, you know, he has a pretty serious wrist injury right now. And when any of us ask him how he feels, he says, "I don't feel pain." Mm. And that's just who he is. He's going to play through injuries and he's going to do those things. So, he's constructed this, you know, I think this mental image of him that's unbreakable, right? Like, you see him mess up his knee in the Eastern Conference Finals. No one thinks he's going to play in the NBA Finals. And, yeah. Oh, by the way, at a 50-point closeout game. So it is kind of, I do think it's one of the things with Giannis that I do think he really is a three-dimensional person, someone that really kind of thinks through all of these things. And it was really human at heart, which I think is part of what's made him so endearing over the years. And, you know, looking at him and potentially being the MVP this season, I'm going to be fascinated to see how the voting kind of falls out. I think for most of this year, everyone kind of thought it was going to be Nikola Jokic from the Nuggets. And, you know, it got to a point where I think writers around the country all kind of wondered, like, all right, if we give this guy three MVPs, it's the first time we've done that in 40 years to go back to back to back. No one's done it since Larry Bird. So are we really going to do that? Like, is that what we think is right? Is that how we want the record books to kind of show this? And I think many writers have said, no, we don't want that. And, you know, we're going to look in other places and think about that a little bit. And that meant Embiid for a while. And maybe it is just going to end up being Joel Embiid. But, I mean, if you look at what Giannis has done, I think his argument's pretty simple, right? Plays both sides of the ball, offense and defense, and he's the best player on the best team in the league. It's pretty simple. I don't think you need too many advanced stats or really even looking at Giannis' stat line to know that. He's been the guy that, you know, as he told Chris Haynes last week, like, feels like he's probably been the MVP the last 5 years, been the best player in the league the last 5 years. And I think that's something that's ultimately probably pretty difficult to argue.
Talking with Eric Name from The Athletic, and Eric, another storyline circling the Bucks. We're going to talk about, obviously, Portis and Lopez deserving of some end-of-the-season awards as well, but I want to get to Chris Middleton, the latest on his knee, and Derek was asking me in the break, and I couldn't answer it properly. What exactly happened with Chris's knee as far as the best you know, and then where is he at as far as returning?
Yeah, with Chris, I think it's interesting, you know, when we talked with him in the middle of the season, so he has a left wrist injury last off season, mm-hmm. took him a little while longer than people thought to come back. And, essentially the Bucks said, well, yeah, it's actually not his wrist that was holding him back. It was his right knee, and he comes back and then that doesn't go well. And he sits out a whole lot more games. And during that time, you know, I talked with him for a story at The Athletic, and, you know, he said one of the things that he's dealt with throughout his career, and typically he's able to handle this because he has a normal offseason, he's able to do his routine, he knows how all this works, is, when he was at Texas A&M, he tore up his knee right before the NBA draft. It's part of the reason why he ended up being a second rounder as opposed to a first rounder. And he kind of said, like, I just have knee issues that I have to deal with, that as I'm getting ready for the season, I have my routine, I know how it's going to work. And getting off to the start that he did with the left wrist and then being, you know, not able to do all of his normal routine, like, it just got him off base. And then I think he's struggled to try to get back to that spot the entire season. And then, you know, the other night, I'm trying to think back which game it was.
I think it was the Bulls game, wasn't it, Eric?
Yeah, so the Bulls game, you know, it's the first offensive possession. He does a speed move, and, you know, it looked like when he planted on that knee a little bit, it didn't really look like it buckled or anything like that, but when he spun around and shot the jumper, he did not want to land on that right leg, and we saw him kind of limp down the court. And to his credit, he tried to play through it. He played another, I think, 7 or 8 minutes after that, but he just wasn't the same the rest of the game. And, you know, internally, when I was in Toronto, the Bucks people that I was talking to there were all very optimistic and said, like, hey, you know, he might not be back for our first practice of the week, which was yesterday on Tuesday, but, you know, the second practice, Chris is going to be back and he'll be fine. And, you know, this little bit of rest should help him out and, you know, make sure that he gets there. But it's going to be a serious question throughout this postseason. You know, he hasn't had that game where he played 40 minutes. He hasn't had that game where, you know, he's in there for the whole fourth quarter and part of the third quarter. Like, he hasn't been stretched out that way. And the thing the Bucks always say is, well, you know, we don't really need to ramp him up much further than those 35. And that's certainly true in the regular season, but in the playoffs, he's going to play 40 minutes in a game. And if he's not playing, and if he's able to play 40 minutes, then, you know, he might get pushed up to 45 minutes. And I'm very curious to see how he'll hold up in those situations and if he's actually able to do it in this playoffs, just because we haven't seen him be able to handle that type of load yet at all during the regular season.
You know, I was asking Jim off the air, too, is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the regular season matchup versus the Celtics, I believe that we were on the losing end of that, and I might be wrong. And I'm curious to how many games that Middleton was not in that we lost against the Celtics, because we very could end up in that position in the Eastern Conference Finals. And to your point, Middleton, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where he's at with that knee.
Yeah, Chris was out for two of those, and, you know, I think you saw them really struggle in some of those games. You know, the Christmas Day game, I think, is always the unofficial start of the NBA season. That's when people start to get excited. We have the marquee matchups, and the Bucks got spanked. Like, I think that's kind of stuck in everyone's craw a little bit. And then I think as the season's gone on, I think Bucks fans were hoping, hey, I know it's the fifth game in seven nights, and, you know, this is going to be a tough one, and they could be tired, but, man, let's see if we can close out the regular season with a big win over the Celtics. And they lost by 40. And Giannis was like, and we are down 50 on our home court. And he's like, Giannis said yesterday, like, hey, people are going to want to say we're the best team in the league, and we have the best record. I understand that, but as far as how I think about the team, we're not the best team. We are the ones that are out here doing the hunting. Like, we last year were the hunted as the defending champions, and we need to get back into that mindset that we still have to earn it. We still have to go out there and show people. And honestly, I know this is probably just loser talk, right? But, you know, the fact that they did get beat up in the way that they did against the Celtics, like, I do think that's going to at least humble them in some ways to not think, come on, 5-7, we beat the Celtics, whatever, we're good, we got Chris back and everything's fine. I think this will help out a little bit, you know, not having that success against the Celtics and knowing that, hey, we're going to have to beat some tough teams. We're going to have to find what our true level is yet, because we want to be contenders. We want to win a championship, but we're going to have to go through some good teams to do it.
Last one for you, Eric. With this Middleton thing, it's definitely up in the air. Last year, obviously, I feel like they would have beaten the Celtics with a healthy Middleton. Are they better equipped to be able to win a series without Middleton? Let's assume maybe he can't play every game in a series, that whether it's management or can't play enough minutes. Can they work around this? Are they better equipped than last year to work around Middleton, either not being able to log the minutes or log all the games that he did during their title run?
Well, so last year, I think one of their big problems was they just didn't have enough guys on the wing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're looking at that Celtics series and, you know, you're debating, should it be Javon Carter or Grayson Allen, or how do we get through this? And, you know, those guys just aren't big enough. And by trading for Jay Crowder at the trade deadline, I think that helps, right? Like, if Middleton would not be able to play, you'd at least have a 6'7" wing that you can put out there, is tough, can defend. Yeah, he's not going to shoot like Chris. He's not going to score like Chris. He's not going to help you on the offense, but at least the defense can be solid. And last year, I think that was just such a big problem. It was not just that you missed Chris's scoring. You missed the only big wing you had on the team. The only guy that, all right, 6'8", Jaylen Brown, 6'10", Jason Tatum, I can stand up to you. Maybe, you know, Chris is not necessarily a stopper or anything, but at least he's big enough. He's got the size. That just wasn't the case with Grayson Allen or Javon Carter, no matter how hard either of those guys tried. So I do think they are more well-equipped to handle it. And then I think the other thing, too, is that Jrue Holiday just did not play at this offensive level last season. He very much was the third guy that on some nights would go off because, you know, he didn't get as much attention or anything like that. Like, he's been the Bucks' number two option this entire season offensively. Mm-hmm. And he's put up the best numbers of his career, I think one could argue. And he's just taken on that larger role. So if Chris can't play, I think he can handle that a little bit better. It's something in the playoffs where he plays so hard on defense that sometimes his offense lags. But I do think since he's done it the whole season, he's a little bit better equipped to do it. So overall, I think the Bucks are better equipped for it. But, man, losing someone as good as Chris again in the playoffs would really be – I'm not going to say it ends their chances or ends their title hopes, but, man, it's really hard to get through a playoff run without one of your key players.
Eric, great stuff as always. Hopefully when we're talking next week, we're talking about a middle of an easy series against whomever it is, and Middleton looking healthy.
Well, amen. The good news is they play on Sunday, and then game two is on Wednesday. So we'll have 72 hours to comprehend everything that happened in game one while I talk to you at Fiserv Forum before game two.
Perfect. And I'm trying to get to game two, so maybe I'll see you there after we do our interview. Eric, thanks for the time.
Thanks, Eric.
Absolutely.